Welcome, my fabulous Fempreneurs. Today, I am excited to introduce you to Beauty Loni. And she is here coming, well, all the way from Guam, depending unless if you are near Guam, it's very close to you. And she's going to tell us today a little bit about her experience as a multi-passionate entrepreneur. And how she balances it all. Because I know some of the organizations that she's involved in are quite large and worldwide. And the fact that she does that in addition to three businesses is something that we all can learn from. We're not there yet, but we can learn from it and get there. Welcome, welcome, Beauty.
Hi, Diva. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
So I was thinking of the book business that you have, how that
Yes.
helps women. Because one of the things I know is that you want to just empower women. We have that same passion to empower women, knowing that women are coming from places and cultures and mindsets that limit them, and just realizing that it's time to break free. Talk a little bit about how you do that with the books.
Oh, sure. My gosh. When I first start, I think when I was a little girl, I kind of wanted to be an author ever since, or even a book illustrator. So I've always had this idea of like, okay, I know I for sure want to be a part of getting published or some type of publication. And it actually just came out of the pandemic, really, because with my other business, Fun Forte, it's an events and fundraising agency. And of course, a lot of the events had to shut down or be postponed. And I was like, okay, what can I do to pivot or at least do something new, something that I can do online? And there were so many different opportunities to be a part of. I was actually able to be a part of three book collaborations. And what we have at the moment are two that have already been produced. So it's been such a nice opportunity to be able to also be a part of these book collaborations. But what was even more surprising is that they have both received international bestselling titles with Amazon.
Congratulations,
Thank
congratulations.
you. Thank you.
And yes, I can move right into the event business. I don't want to say event planning, but is it event planning? Is that accurate?
Yes. It's
Okay.
more of an event planning agency, and sorry, my husband distracted me. It's more of an events planning agency, but we also offer courses, workshops, different types of fundraising and event support. So what I like to call it is concept to cleanup type of services and products.
Why is it called Fun Forte? Is it Fun Forte? Am I saying it right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes. Oh my gosh, I think ever since I was probably kindergarten, I've been involved in fundraisers and events within the school. My mom was an Avon representative, so I grew up around small business as well as fundraising, and that's pretty much how she received her success in Avon, was through all that fundraising opportunities that she gave schools, and that's how she pretty much marketed her multi-level marketing business throughout the island, is saying like, hey, we don't just sell these through these catalogs, but we offer these fundraising opportunities. And that's the way that I came up with it, being inspired from me helping her was through all the fundraisers that she made. And as I grew older, fundraisers just became so normal for me. Student leadership positions became much more normal for me, and I was able to pretty much produce these fundraisers and events really quickly, efficiently, as well as more profitable than what the schools that I've been a part of were used to. So I became known as the fundraiser girl or the class president type of persona that people would know me for.
And does femme forte mainly raise funds for schools or women's special events? Can
Yeah,
you
mostly,
tell me?
yeah, mostly women's special events actually. We sponsor a lot, and then depending on the contract agreement, we give a percentage of the funds that we raise to the beneficiaries.
Well, I have some background in event planning, and it's exhausting.
Oh, nice. It is, yeah. But I love it. It's so fun, especially when it comes so natural to you. You know, there are different ways that people are like, oh my gosh, you're like a superhero, you know, and I love that feeling of when people say, oh my goodness, we need to clone you, or we need to we should have met you sooner type of comments. And that's kind of what made me inspired to take the route of continuing that fundraiser education, as well as consulting, mentoring, and also planning and executing these types of events for people, because it's kind of exhausting, you know, when you're in the need for funding, or you're in the constant need for money. And I feel that when people want to do fundraiser based events, then they kind of don't know where to start. They're like, okay, what should we do? Where can we go? We need this X amount of money within this X amount of time. And sometimes it's just a few days to a few weeks, if anything. So that's what I help them with. We were able to track how we can get to their goals as best as possible, as fast as possible.
That's amazing because it's so needed, but it's not something people actually think of getting help with. A lot of people just jump
Right.
into the fundraising, and then it's a, you know, can be disappointment because people fall through, plans fall through. There's no strategy to get there. So how does the strategy of fundraising begin? Like, what's the foundation of it?
Oh, that's a great question. First of all, it's the financial need. We want to see what that financial need is going to be aimed towards. What's the goal? Like, let's say it's a health fundraiser, like someone needs off-island medical treatment. That's one of the most popular ones here on island. Guam is fairly small. We're only about 32 square miles, and we have great doctors, but it's not necessarily, the specialists aren't for everybody, or there are other specialists that people might need. So people either go to the United States or the Philippines or any other med tourism type of, you know, location that they can
Sure,
find.
no judgment.
And oh yeah. And so it depends on the person's goals or the organization's goals. And then from there we kind of backtrack, like, okay, how we kind of give them an idea of the different types of fundraising programs or fundraising events that they can do based on the resources they have. Do you have, like, let's say they don't have any money to start off with, then we're going to say, like, okay, you're going to have to put a lot of sweat equity into your ideas, but it's going to be able to happen. You just need to get a lot of volunteers. But let's say there's also other cases where they don't have any volunteers, but they have a lot of money to, like, just say, okay, we need to probably just double this X amount of money. So we kind of just go with the resources and see where we can divert those resources to best suit their needs.
Yeah, and just listening to you lay out some of the strategy is so inspiring and interesting because, again, yeah, some people have nothing to start with.
Right.
And without any consulting, they're kind of leaning on family members or maybe some
Yes.
organization that they're part of. And it's very hard if it's a significant sum of money to get there without that strategy. And I like the idea of the person that has all the money but just needs a few
Right.
volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
there are a very few, but you know, it does happen, because depending on how they've been able to raise those funds, of course, everybody's story is different, and we all have different needs. So it's bless you, buddy. It's quite challenging for people when they don't, you know, they don't see the different blessings that they have. They can't really recognize them until somebody else points it out, like, hey, you got all these people here. Don't feel so hopeless, you know. Or other things like your organization has been around for so long. Don't give up. You've been through so many years of trials and errors. So, you know, we try to also take those types of resources into account because people tend to forget to celebrate themselves.
All right. Celebrating yourself and how resourceful you are. And I know that women are very resourceful, especially when we come together. Could you
Oh,
give
yeah.
an example of a fundraiser that was specifically for a women's special event? Women
Oh,
on.
sure. Yes. One of the first ones that we sponsored was called Guam Moms Helping Moms. Oh, gosh, I don't even remember. Probably 2013, either between 2013 to 2016. I really forgot the year, but it was just such a fun consultation and event to be a part of. The women who were pretty much spearheading it, they found a need that people weren't able to pretty much get diapers and other, you know, basic necessities for raising babies. And they did a diaper drive. They did like a roadside like coin and dollar bill collection. It was so funny because I consulted them to also like dress up as babies. So these adults were wearing like adult diapers out in public. It was so fun. It was so funny. And it was that's my type of style, is to get things out of the norm, try to be eye-catching, try to be memorable so that people can remember those different logos right when they see it. Like for example, ours is so bright yellow right here in the back. It's and once the ch once the children or the community kind of sees it, they're like, oh, there's Miss Beauty, you know, they already know me based on that color as well as the colors that I wear. Like if I'm doing presentations or anything, but I'm just comfortable today since I'm still at home.
But
So yeah.
this is really good. And anybody that might be doing a fundraiser can really learn from this fact that you let people have fun, but also draw their attention to themselves and
Yes.
increase their visibility so that they can get more support. The fun,
Right.
the fort is the power, the strength.
Yes.
And so these ladies were walking around in diapers and
Yeah, it's so funny. I think they actually asked their husbands to do it. So it was more so, I know there were a few ladies, but that's a part of the overall fundraiser campaigns. So depending on what, again, the goal of the organization or the individual is, or even the business, we break it down on different types of activities or smaller, I guess, functions within an overall fundraising campaign that they can do, especially if they don't have the manpower or the funding to dedicate to just one specific day. So we let them know, like, hey, this is the X amount of time your volunteers can work. So you cannot only have this goal met in one day, realistically. So we try to break that down for them as well. Like, why don't you focus 1 month towards fundraising all these different activities? And that way it can be broken up and people won't be exhausted. Your team won't be, you know, led to burnout, basically. So we also take that into account because having those financial stressors will definitely, you know, affect an entire team, not just the organization leaders by themselves.
I like that the key words that you said there is teamwork and timeline
Right.
for people to just even take that into consideration. Because I've been a volunteer of numerous fundraisers, and it was just like, we're going to show up on this day, hope other people show up, and hopefully we'll get to our goal or our target. And I don't know if they reached it or not. There wasn't that kind of transparency. But in the end, it kind of felt disorganized. And sometimes, like myself, in times where I just showed up somewhere, they said, just show up. And I just started helping. And the other person didn't show up. And so I took on some more roles. And yeah,
Right.
that happens in any business or a fun event. So just having a strategy is so key.
It is. And to make it fun, like you said, especially if it's something new, let's say, for example, car washes. Guam has to do so many car washes because people know it, it's recognizable, but it works, right? But it gets boring. So if you want to be memorable, what I would let my friends know, especially the ones who are like, hey, Beauty, any fundraising ideas for a simple car wash? I'm like, yeah, take your shirts off. You guys need to go and honk down those people and match your mascots or put up funny signs or something. I remember I suggested to someone who is a pretty heavy set man, I said, why don't you advertise that there's topless car washes? And then the only thing that happens is it's all of you really husky men, and it was so funny. So I like to put that laughter factor into our fundraisers because, again, we want to try to make things memorable for people. Actually, there's a reason behind the transparency or not being transparent in reality for the fundraising amount, the monetary amount that our clients make. Because for me, I know that I'm just there for the logistics and the actual amount of money that they raised. I've actually never asked any of my clients, like, hey, did you meet your goal? And that's something that's a personal choice for me because, other than the logistics, none of the money raised is my business. As long as I know the success of the fundraiser was good or was it bad, like I need to know whether it was good or bad. What do you guys feel? So I think I've only had one case where a fundraiser failed, but it was just because the lady was by herself. She kind of just felt like there wasn't anybody who wanted to help her, but she didn't do the work that I suggested, where I think she wanted to start her own book, and she didn't do the work that I suggested. So of course, if you're not going to follow your coach or your mentor or your leader, then there's going to be some setbacks to the advice that's being given. And if that work isn't done, remember how I was mentioning, like, that sweat equity has to be put into the actual ideas or they won't come to fruition. So that's kind of the qualitative, like, benchmarks that I set for myself is, was it good? Was it bad? Just let me know, and let me know how I can improve. And then I also share what we have observed from their team so that they can also relay, like, messages to their teammates, like, okay, this is what we need improvement on, or what we need to cut down from spending on. Because we also offer that service of observing the team so that we can identify how efficient they can be in running their organizations, especially if it's in
Wonderful.
a nonprofit.
Yeah,
Oh, thank you.
wonderful. You're the eagle eye that looks over everything, because I know when, you're doing events, probably not large events, the ones I've done, but
Right.
you're so in it that you can't be everywhere and seeing everything. So I like that your business focuses on the logistics. And one thing you said, awesome advice, a key part of it is mindset.
Oh,
So
yeah.
this lady was in the space where nobody wants to help or come, and she kind of fulfilled her own prophecy by staying in
Right.
the mindset. Yeah, wow.
Right. And we're like, okay, of course, you don't have to move forward with any of the other suggestions in the plan, but that's where you'll be. You will not be able to move forward unless you take some type of action. There's even, like, I love how you mentioned mindset here too, because this paper back here is actually something that I'm putting together for creating more clones of me to basically go out and, conquer the fundraising world. So it's kind of like a course and a program that people can undertake if they're interested in becoming a fundraiser coordinator. And that's mindset is such an important, a pillar, I guess, right?
Of
Towards
life.
exactly, yep, exactly, to life, to anything. And we focus on what people's relationship with money is, what their mindset is, what their heart set is. I like to call it heart set or heartscape. Because it's challenging if you have a lot of blockage or drawbacks, personal drawbacks, then you might not be able to help other people manage any type of fundraising or event. And like you mentioned, sometimes it does get chaotic. So there are different avenues we suggest to people so that they can overcome those.
Well, I always feel right now know that entrepreneurship is like therapy.
Oh,
Anything that
yeah.
you have in your mind and heart is gonna come out as you go through the journey, and you're pushing forward, and you might find that you are holding yourself back. So this is a key to it. I never thought of the mindset of a fundraiser or event planning, but it's good to know that that is also essential part of it. And with that, I would just say that we at one point, I first met you as a part of a worldwide women's entrepreneurship organization, and you were a leader in that as well. So you are juggling many hats, ladies, with she's juggling many hats with the family and the community. I love that a lot of what you do brings up your community. You're very community empowerment oriented, and
Yes.
I celebrate you for that. And I want to, before we go anywhere, I want to definitely talk about your third business, your new baby. So we're recording this in the month of February, and we've just finished Valentine's Day, and I also have an event that's coming up. It's called the Love, Sex, and Sensuality Summit. And yeah, there's always so much more for us to learn.
Oh,
So
yeah.
please tell me what your business, what aspect of love, sex, and sensuality your business deals with, and the name of it again. You tell us.
Sure. Okay, so the third business that I'm trying to launch is called Cups, and it's spelled KUXX. The idea behind that is more so where individuals, couples, could have a safer space for education and events based around, again, sex and sensuality. But it's more so of a avenue for people to take to be like, hey, we're not judgmental here. As long as you're following the law of the laws of Guam, please make sure that you are able to come forward and express anything that you may feel is blocking you. Because for me, I feel that when you have a lot of, let's say, reproductive energy pent up, you won't be able to produce creatively, basically. That's my experience. So we kind of try to attract clients and people who are in that stage before we got here. So another part of that is to also express to people that they are capable of attaining, I guess the relationships that they desire, the relationships, the experiences. Of course, nobody's perfect. No relationship is perfect, but that's what people are there for. So, like my husband and myself, where we are able to guide other people towards living their best life, basically. And a lot of that starts with those primal urges, like, first find out where are they coming from, why do you feel like you need certain expressions to be placed, and how can you help yourself is what the third thing. So with CUCKS, we're really trying to just bring people together so that they feel safe and that they feel heard and that they feel like there is a possibility of basically feeling okay in their own body.
And was that KUXXX? I think I saw.
KUXX,
Oh,
two X's.
XX, two
Yeah,
X's.
it's just a Chamorro slang here on the islands. It kind of means like, oh, that's crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're trying to also have a fun wordplay on the taboo of everything, but on the other side, it's showing that it's normal. It's not that crazy at all.
And that is it, I think. You know, building that healthy relationship to our intimacy and our sexual side, and kind of breaking away from the taboo of talking about it. So
Right.
we are here in an age where so many people, as you said, it turns into, okay, maybe you're single and you want to date, or you're in a relationship, you're in a marriage, and you're not satisfied, but you're
Right.
not opening your mouth to say
Right.
to the other person what it is you want. And so this is one of the reasons that I'm doing this summer. If I had known about you, I would have invited you before, but maybe
Oh, no
the
problem.
next one.
Next one, next round.
Okay, the next round is just, I think you talked about how you grew up, and I can definitely vouch for the same feeling. There was just no one around to support healthy attitudes towards sex and sensuality. It's just something people aren't talking about, even
Right.
this day in age.
Right. Even as adults, even as much
Yeah.
older women, like for example, there was a lady I was coaching maybe 3 times my senior, like she was way older than me. And this is probably when I was in my 20s. So she was almost 80, really. And she was just like, "I cannot figure out how to do something." I said, "Let me ask you something, only because this is just coming from my instinct, right? It was an instinctual question." I was just asking her about her intimate life, and I was said, "You please do not answer if you do not want to answer, but I feel like this is something I need to ask you as your mentor, only because when we are not satisfying ourselves, not just sexuality, not just in our sexuality, but in our overall being, if we are not satisfied, if we are not finding pleasure in the things that we are doing, it's going to create that bundle and blockage within
Blockage.
our body, and it comes out physically,
Okay.
right?" And I said that might be something that you would want to explore. I can help you with it, but of course, that's absolutely up to you, because it's such a sensitive and personal topic. You don't want to have somebody be telling you about your body, or about like, "Hello, I've lived in my body my entire life," you know? So people kind of negate from having those kinds of discussions, even from someone younger, but it's because I've done the exploration, I've done the studying, I've done the studying too. And where I can see that people might be lacking, I could have suggestions for them. So once she was able to kind of explore her needs, then she came back to me. She's like, "Oh my gosh, I just had this burst of creative energy
Creative energy.
after feeling, after recognizing who I am and what I've been." I forgot the word
Surprising.
that she mentioned.
Surprising.
Suppressing. There you go. Yeah, that's a perfect word. And as I see, there you go. We're women, we're human. We have to be able to honor ourselves. And when we don't do that, that's where all the gunk, it all builds up in our bodies and our heart, our mind, body, and soul. So that's another perfect example of why it's so important. So I'm so thankful that you're having that summit as well. It's very important for women to have more resources, where they can come together and feel safe.
Yes, and this is a lovely thing that I understand that you got married, I think, well, it feels like recently, because I
It's
think
a
I remember the
year, in about a
announcement.
year. Yeah.
I
Yes,
remember you
yeah.
announcing that, and I heard a little bit about your story of in a previous relationship, which was kind of your inspiration for all the wonderful things that you do now.
Right.
If you can just give us a little insight on what has changed for you and how that made you this strong, entrepreneur and adventurous woman that you are now.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, the relationship to the father of my children was very rocky. Like, it was so toxic that it was dangerous. And that kind of led, that was almost 10 years of a relationship. I think we were probably like just months away from making that 10-year mark. And it's just such a blessing, for people to show their true colors. But I'm very stubborn, and I did not listen to this person when they're like, "Hey, I'm not good for you." So that's my fault, where I didn't listen to somebody. They showed me their true colors, and I was just persistent, like, "No, we can make this work. We can heal. You can heal, I can heal. We can work towards a better life." But back then, I didn't realize, like, "Hey, I can't control anybody else. I can only control myself." And it took so much time towards getting towards that. There was also another relationship that I was a part of extremely toxic within such a short amount of time. And that was to the extent of this person's now in prison for murdering the other person that he was seeing after me, a few months or years after me. And it's so devastating because leading up to those events, I was like, how come I have this urge to try all these different things? And when I look back towards it, it was because my intuition, my body was really trying to warn the family members of that individual who's since passed. And I still, break myself up about it because it's like, wow, if I was just like so much closer to finding out. Because I like, for example, the person that passed away, I had this, little nudge of saying, how come I need to find this individual, my ex that I was dating at the time? Why do I feel like I need to find the person who he's seeing now and kind of share my story? But I was like, oh no, it's probably, just it's nothing. I dismissed it. And when I found out that she passed away, all of the people that I had been speaking with, or the new groups that I joined, or the new connection, or connections that I made, I was like, oh my gosh, this person was related to all those people. And Guam again is fairly small, so it just like, like mind blown about how oh gosh, I just feel like I could have saved her. But of course, that wouldn't have been my job. I
Right.
tried my best to, I did all the things that girls on Guam and people, the public, are educated to do. Go to the police, make those police reports, the basic things, the very basic things. And it ended up, of course, in devastation.
Yeah.
And
That's something we can't save everyone. We can literally only save ourselves, and it's a tremendous amount of courage and absolutely crazy, in a sense, to just be able to save ourselves. I've seen women in the situation and I've talked to them. I've been in the situation and had no one to talk to because no one believed that this person had another side. And
And it's
police.
scary. It's a scary position to be in.
The police didn't do much. They did help, but they couldn't do much because he was a police officer in my situation.
Oh, that's the scary. That's one of the scariest ones. Oh.
So he had access to and everywhere I went. But yeah, and it really was bad for the next girl. I never met her or saw her, or I heard about her at the very end. She didn't pass, but I heard about the situation, how bad it got, and that so then people stepped in. But for me to get out of that situation, I had to go, the best word I could say, like, crazy courageous. And it's like, I'm gonna get out of this no matter what, no matter
You're in
what. And I
survival mode. Yeah, your fangs come out, and I like to call myself, like, I was in mama bear mode too. When that person was, he ended up stalking me, breaking into my house,
That's right.
making all these fake profiles. It was scary. And I'm like, all right, you want my claws to come out? Then they're right here. Like, I'm not gonna sit back and have my family tormented and, feel like we're unsafe. So, it's definitely such a scary situation to be in for anybody, male or female, and it's just so important. And that's why I like to do interviews like this, or go to schools and speak to the younger kids, because I didn't have those relatives or people in my life who were raw and detailed graphically about the things that they went through. There were so many conversations about certain people, but it was more in a gossipy type of, environment, rather than a, here, sweetheart, let me tell you what I've been through. This is what you should avoid type of thing. And it's important for adults to speak to children like that, because we as adults have that responsibility of not creating other victims who would be like ourselves. I like this one quote that I read years ago where it says, "You are the adult that you needed back when you were a child, back when you were a child." And it's so important. It's such a sweet, realization that you become the adult that you wish you had when you were a child. And I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like I am a safe adult. I feel like I am a resourceful adult. I feel like no matter any child that I see who might be lost at the mall or whatever, or I can sense that there is any type of abuse happening, I know how to have those conversations with these children or these minors so that they can have a safer outcome than I did. And it's really nice to be in that position of power, because you don't want to have other kids or other women or men become victimized by themselves, basically, because it's really like a form of being able to hone into that responsibility that you have to survive on your own. Nobody else is going to take you out of a situation besides yourself, because you cannot heal from something that you don't want to get, like, keep getting hurt by. You know what I mean? Because there's those people who are going to be like so fed up with any DV or other types of abuse that they're a part of, but if they are not willing to cut those ties or relationships out of their life, then it's going to be a challenge for them to get better for themselves or do better for themselves in any situation.
Comes back to the mindset, which I've been learning a lot about with you ladies that are on my podcast and ladies that I have in these entrepreneurship community. And it also comes back to I choose me.
Right.
Do or die, hopefully not, but I choose me. And that's
Right.
the only thing that I could advise any woman that's going through a similar situation to bring herself to that point. And some might say, I'm staying in it for the kids. You're not helping the kids that way.
Right.
Put that life vest on, put that oxygen mask on, and do what needs to be done.
Right. So true.
So we went deep. I'm sure you weren't planning to go quite so deep
Oh,
today,
no,
but
I'm fine.
you're fine. Okay, I'm glad for that because you are a wealth of knowledge
Oh,
and I
thank
can
you.
only scratch the surface today. So I just want to thank you again for
You're
joining
very welcome.
and just openly speaking about life.
Right. We need it. We need those eye-opening, real, raw, and graphic conversations, because there are so many people who, are on social media and they aren't as authentic as they could be or should be, and that's okay, but that's not how I want to live.
We celebrate you, beauty.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for joining.